This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
6:14 on this Tuesday morning, got some spotty fog around. Be aware of that. Highs today of 79 degrees going up to 80. And it was warm yesterday afternoon after the rain went through. 81 tomorrow, 79 Thursday, chance for showers Friday, and then a 90% chance for rain on Saturday, which is really awful for the Irish Channel St. Patrick's Day parade because that was their makeup day to parade after they were rained out the first time. Then Sunday, more parades planned. Nice then, highs of 84. In Gretna, I think they got a big parade. So that's pretty warm, mid-80s. And before you know it, man, the heat and humidity of summer will be here. So get out and enjoy whatever spring weather is left while you can. Mark Hamrick joins us now, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst. Stagflation hits. It's going to be hard to enjoy anything because I know I lived through it as a very, very young person, as did a lot of y'all listening. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Doing well, sir. Good to be with you. Good morning.
Did you live through, I'm not trying to pry into your personal business here or anything, but did you live through stagflation in the 70s?
Yes, very much so. I was a teenager and older by that time.
There is a great shot, an old TV program, The Rockford Files, where in the opening credits he's buying a steak and he's got his eyes rolled, putting it in the basket like he has no choice. And I always hearken to that because that, Mark, seems to me to sum the entire thing up where it's like, well, I guess I got to buy it. I don't know what else to do. Tell people what stagflation is for those that were not around for it.
Well, this is a term that gets bandied about quite a bit, and knowing that we were going to discuss this, I was curious to see what a literal dictionary definition of it looks like, and it's consistent, I think, with the definition that a lot of people associate, and that is persistent high inflation combined with high unemployment and stagnant demand in a country's economy. It was used most often during the time span that you talked about, but the use of the word actually has continued quite commonly through, I would say, the last couple of decades. So it's very much a term that is worth knowing about and, as you indicate, pondering whether it could be increasingly relevant.
I would also ask those that were not there to be around for to Google Jimmy Carter and General Milley's speech, because it was astounding to have the President of the United States come on and say that the country was in a general malaise. Let's talk about the economy in the United States now, and what are the conditions that could lead to stagflation, another round of it, or what is it that has investors concerned, Mark?
Yeah, this question was asked of Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell maybe a few news conferences ago, meaning perhaps in the middle part of last year. And he obviously is you know, in his 70s now as well. And so he was alive when the period occurred that you're talking about. And you know, people who weren't conscious at that time would be well to remember that essentially what happened was the Arab oil embargo, and we had gasoline lines and very high interest rates resulted from the high inflation, and eventually by creating a recession or two, Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker was able to slay the beast that was high inflation, but it took a lot of pain. And so we're in a much different situation right now, to the extent that we're complaining about inflation that's roughly at a 2.5% level, not in the high single digits or even low double digits, and in some cases high double digits. Doesn't mean it's any more pleasant to deal with. And, you know, it's the primary complaint that people have about the economy is elevated prices, which result from inflation. I think you'd have to get a substantial rise in the unemployment rate, which right now is at 4.1%, a substantial rise, you know, something that's more akin to what we see during recessions. When we had a recession before the COVID crisis, the previous recession had produced unemployment of 10% in 2009, and so 4.1% that we have right now is far from that. And of course, we were 14.8% in early 2020, but that persisted, thankfully, for only about a month or so. So we'd have to have much higher unemployment, and I think that we'd have to have higher inflation as well. And, you know, crossing our fingers, right now I don't think that that is a realistic concern. In other words, something to be aware of, you know, and I would always say, well, what should we do about it? Save more money, have more money in emergency savings, et cetera, pay down debt are really two time-tested smart things to do. But recession risks are clearly rising, and so, you know, that in and of itself is concerning enough.
Let's talk about the stock market when we come back. 401ks, I don't know if it's up or down. I don't, not 401ks specifically, because that would depend on what you're invested in, but I don't know if the market's rallying or not. Sometimes people breathlessly tell you what's going on after 3 minutes of trading when the market opens, and that seems to me a little premature. Somebody texted in, I guess you Democrats can dream and hope. Somebody else texted in and said, no pain, no gain. But I think you have to... I guess you have to wonder if stagflation produced any gain, and what was the state of the economy in November and December? What's the state of it today, and are we gaining anything or not? So we'll talk about all that when we come back with Mark Hamrick, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst, who, like me, is neither blue or red, but I think for the most part green and concerned with money. 621 traffic now, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Mark Hamrick, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst, about stagflation. Is it coming? Is it something to just keep an eye on, something we could actively worry about? Mark, inevitably, you know, when it comes to all this stuff, we talked about being on Team Red or Team Blue. I don't care about any of that. I'm just concerned. I mean, I care about the country, obviously, and the future and the security of the country. But I also care about how I'm doing with the economy and how my personal financial situation is. That comes first. So when it comes to the state of the economy and Wall Street and tariffs and so forth, do we know how the markets reacted to all of this yet? Because it seems like it's down, it's up, it's down, it's up. But that's what markets do, right?
Over time, obviously, Tommy, the markets move up and down. And people have, in a way, been spoiled by the last few years where we had double-digit percentage rallies in each of the previous 2 years in the S&P 500, which is the main index that's relevant to most people's investments, whether they're saving for retirement through a 401k. And so think about the fact that the S&P 500 has been up sharply in the past 2 years. A pullback would have been expected no matter what. You know, we survey professional investors every quarter, and they told us in the fourth quarter of last year that people should be prepared for the possibility of less than stellar returns in the coming 12 months and perhaps even below normal returns in the next 5 years. But this is a horse of a different color in the era in which we're talking right now, because of the high degree of volatility and uncertainty. And uncertainty undermines consumer confidence. It is undermining consumer confidence. It's undermining business confidence. The S&P 500 was down as much as 10% recently from the high, but it's come back. And so year to date, the S&P 500 is down all of 2%. And over the last 3 months, it's down 3.6%. So that's basically, it's not been a garden variety move for this index or the rest of the market, but the fact that it has recovered within this, what was called a correction in the 10% pullback, should give people at least a sense of relief for now, but I'd be the last person to try to predict what the market's going to do in the intermediate term.
At what point does the market accept uncertainty, if that doesn't sound too dumb, where they realize that, okay, for the next couple of years, it's going to be tariffs on, tariffs off, tariffs on, tariffs off. Who knows what the outcome's going to be because President Trump runs things differently than did previous presidents. Does the market eventually adapt to that, Mark?
I don't think so, because that is the polar opposite of what businesses and consumers need to be able to look through to make decisions that they need to make. And so if you're a business leader, obviously if you've got customers knocking at your door and you need to crank out more widgets, you're going to do that. But if you're buying aluminum or steel to make those widgets and you're worried that the boat that's already set sail with all of your widgets and steel is going to cost you all of your capital operating budget, for the coming year to just import that steel and pay the tariff, you are worried whether you're going to be able to stay in business. And so this lack of predictability, I think, is as bad as anything that I could possibly come up with short of a recession or war itself. And so we need to have consistency, and we need to have some degree of certainty, and not the maybe we will, maybe we won't, maybe we'll do something halfway, which is sort of the way the news cycle's been going of late.
What can people do, Mark, personally, to protect themselves, insulate themselves from this up and down inconsistency?
I really, like to stick to the notion that best financial practices hold true through thick and thin, through good times and challenging times. And most Americans live paycheck to paycheck. We're a paycheck to paycheck country. So help us break out of that cycle by having 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. It's not going to happen overnight if one's beginning that, but we just need to have a dedicated savings account that comes out of direct deposit and funds itself, and then over time we'll have enough money to pay for that emergency expense or the unforeseen event.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your time as always. Mark Hamrick, BankRate Senior Economic Analyst. You really do need to start saving money, and I don't care if it's a piggy bank, I don't care if it's saving it and turning it into big bills and then putting them in the bank, whatever you got to do, come up with a way to incentivize yourself to save money and spend less. That's the only way. 6:30, more we come back. Time now, WWL First News. 6:45, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Another nice spring day today. Warmer than it has been, though. Yeah, man, I was outside yesterday playing with the dog. It was hot to me, anyway. Highs today of 79. And then moving ahead, tomorrow 81, 78 on Thursday. I should mention there's a little bit of patchy fog out there. Be aware of that. 40% chance for showers on Friday. Then Saturday, unfortunately, the day, the makeup day for the Irish Channel St. Patrick's Day Parade, 90% chance for showers. Then not clear, but partly cloudy Sunday with highs in the mid-80s for the Gretna Irish-Italian thing that they got going. Larry Carter joins us now, our friend, President of Louisiana Federation of Teachers. How you doing, Larry?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Let's talk about Amendment Number 2 and teacher pay raises, because I've heard some different things, and it surprises me in a way to hear that you're asking people to vote for Amendment Number 2. Tell me about it.
Yes, look, it's one of the most important constitutional amendments for us and for probably the community as a whole. What it does for us, and I'm talking about teachers and school employees, it kind of addresses one of the probably most pressing concerns for teachers and school employees, and that's financial stability. The amendment, to be clear, it will convert that one-time stipend into permanent parts of teachers and school employees' pay. It's not a pay raise, and most people have been saying that, and it's not. It's over the last 2 years, teachers and school employees have been getting a $2,000 supplement for teachers and a $1,000 supplemental pay for school employees. It is not a permanent part of their salaries. That means if the budget or the economy tanks quickly, it could be reduced and not added for the following year in 2026. And so what we're saying is this is the only opportunity that's on the table for teachers and school employees to have that stipend, that one-time stipend, converted to a permanent part of their salaries. It is the only instrument that's out there. If you looked at the executive budget that the governor laid out, it is not in his budget. For the last 2 years, there have been, again, supplemental pay of $2,000 and $1,000. And so for us, our members, we polled our members over the last probably 6 months, from probably September till probably we're going to end the survey in at the end of this month. And the number one concern out there was compensation and pay, probably at about, I would say, 89, almost 90% of those who participate in our survey. We then had robust conversations within our executive council about the position that we would take on this. And while we know there are numbers of organizations out there that took the other side of that coin, our members and our executive council decided that, of course, when we're talking about turning a supplemental pay into a permanent pay, it was one of the decisions that we had to come out. While it wasn't the way we usually have funding for teacher and school employee compensation, it was the only opportunity for teachers and school employees to see that stipend turned into a permanent part of their salaries.
Does this, how does this play out with local school districts or where the money's coming from? Somebody texted in, they're confused about who decides who gets what when, and that's their problem with Amendment Number 2.
Yeah, when you look at Amendment 2, I know there's a lot of objects or a lot of subjects in that particular amendment. But for us, when we look at the part that specifically talks about teacher and school employees' pay, it is governed by what's called Act 8. It was originally House Bill 5 that was part of the legislation that actually is the companion legislation to the constitutional amendment. In particular, we fought hard and worked directly with Representative Bacala, Senator Edmonds, and the governor to add amendments to ensure that the pay and the supplement was kind of really vetted out and kind of meet sort of the provisions of what would normally be done. We advocated and really got an Act 8 mandatory salary schedule incorporation, meaning that it would become a permanent part of their salaries. We fought for strong non-surplantation protection, meaning that if the district couldn't reduce that any other compensation to offset this increase, we included retirement benefit protection that ensures that any associated retirement costs, they're covered to protect employees' future benefits. There's an accountability mechanism that's in that amendment through that supplemental legislation that supports that by having, if a superintendent decides that he or she is not going to be compliant, they have to go before both the House and Senate Education Committees to explain that. And then there's leave protections that ensures every employee who is on an approved leave still receives the increase and that the funding is guaranteed. And if a district doesn't see the kind of savings that's expected from the pay down of the TRSL, the retirement benefit, is insufficient, additional funding will be provided through the minimum foundation program, the MFP. That's usually how these raises are funded. So we fought really, really hard during the session to make sure that this part of what we thought was going to be a constitutional amendment around teacher pay, but then we see there's a lot of other parts to that that really make it difficult, I know, for some people. But for us, we saw it as an opportunity to make sure that we continue to support teachers and school employees and make sure that we don't lose them to surrounding states and our other professions. So for us, it was, again, one of those tough decisions that we had to make when everyone else seems to be on a different path and a different side to the coin of making that decision on Amendment 2. We vetted, again, the discussion, and we felt like it was the right thing to do for teachers and school employees.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back, 6:51 and a half. Larry Carter, president of the Louisiana Federation of Teachers, a lot in Amendment Number 2, but he's saying as it relates to teachers, he thinks that that is the way to go when it comes to making sure that, I guess, the teacher's supplemental stipend is codified and becomes part of a permanent pay raise. We'll pick it up. We come back. Again, any questions, comments, especially if you're a teacher, 504-260-1870. Traffic now, WWL. All right, 6:58, couple of minutes till 7. Larry Carter, our guest, president of Louisiana Federation of Teachers, he says that teacher unions are backing Amendment Number 2. There's a lot in there. I'm getting some text. Some of them are saying that, Larry, that the governor is kind of like forcing the teachers up against the wall, or that they're kind of not using the teachers, but holding them hostage, I guess, to support an amendment that has a lot of other stuff in there just to get a pay raise that's guaranteed and not a stipend. Is this the best of a bad deal? How would you look at this?
Look, I've heard that often, even by some of our members. But I can say this, we are kind of caught, you know, between accepting a complicated constitutional amendment with far-reaching implications, and we face an immediate, you know, reduction in take-home pay if this is the only instrument that's allowed to make a supplemental pay permanent. Look, this is not a straightforward solution, and it's one that, you know, we would, you know, not have preferred, because it's, you know, really done through the MFP. And so it's currently the only path forward to preserve, you know, teacher and school employee compensations, because we don't want to lose them, like I said before, to neighboring states or other professions. And so, yes, we totally understand it's a complicated, complex constitutional amendment. But for us, the decision was to support the amendment because it protected the educators from losing compensation they've come to rely on for the last 2 years.
Thank you, Larry. We'll take a break, talk about slow pokes in the left lane when we come back.